So my presentation is about the 10 plans that change Minnesota. This is an idea. This presentation is actually about an idea and what I did with an idea. We are fortunate in academia to be able to take sabbatical leaves. And several years ago when I was on leave, I came up with this idea of what 10 plants changed Minnesota. And so my wonderful colleagues that I have at the University of Minnesota, Neil Anderson was one. I don't even know if Neil remembers this, but Neil said, "Mary, that's a great idea. What are the 10 plants? What, you know, that you could make a program out of this?" And so I did. So I'm going to talk to you today predominantly about how I developed this into a freshman class. It's a freshman seminar, a learning experience at the University of Minnesota, but it's also been an educational program for the general public. So I took this idea, made the academic class we'll talk about. We also this year have finalized the activities for middle and high school students and teachers. My whole goal was to address the issue of plant blindness, which even my husband has, and talk about the creating awareness about plants, appreciation, and the importance of plants in our lives. So this whole 10 plants thing is kind of an educational program. I'm fortunate to have an office at the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum, a big public interface in horticulture, and so we had a public education campaign where the public nominated the 10 plants that changed Minnesota. We had a youth challenge. We gave youth prizes. Our Anderson Horticultural Library in Minnesota created reading lists for youth and adults. I developed the freshman seminar, which is an incentive program for faculty at the University of Minnesota, and I've been teaching that now for several years. Along with Susan Davis Price, a horticultural writer, she and I wrote a book that has been published this year. We also have a website. 10 Plants was used as an educational theme for Ag in the Classroom, a program that all states have across the United States. And then this year we did these teacher workshops. So I've done a lot of public presentations, and I ask people to name the 10 plants. I won't ask you to do that, but you're probably all thinking, what are the 10 plants for your own state? So you should be thinking about this, because this is the hook. What are the 10 plants? People just were so enamored with this. When I talk about this program, I don't get very far before they're saying, "Oh, I think I can name three. I can name two. Is it wheat? Is it the da-da?" So that is the hook of this whole thing, and would be for any of your states. So with the public submissions, we had a lot of these. These are the 10 plants that were selected. The public nominations are the number in parentheses. Some things like American elm. Nobody nominated American elm, but we selected that as one of the 10 plants, and others were quite popular with people, of course, picked apples. So the 10 plants are two forest trees, three, these are not row crops, I should have changed that, two row crops and one grain. The wheat, the agronomists have told me, is not a row crop. The perennial alfalfa, food crops, apple, wild rice, and then landscape plants. So many people in Minnesota do have a favorite memory or story about these plants, and would be true of any state. This is our esteemed selection committee, the judges, industry people, academia people, deans were on this list. I asked the president of the university to be on this list, but he said Karen, his wife, could do a good job, and she did. She was very good. So you can see the industry there represented by Bachmann's. We have a very strong horticultural society, so that they were involved. And then the Minnesota State Historical Society, the one horticulturist that works for them who manages one of the big outreach facilities, he was on our selection committee also, and these were our criteria for selection. So what plants have made an environmental impact, economic impact, or industrial, cultural, or spiritual impact, historical, sustenance, landscape, by sheer acreage, some plants. We were looking at the number of acres for sugar beets. I thought sugar beets was going to be one of the 10 plants, but the acreage was not as significant as some others. So a little bit more about this freshman seminar. At the University of Minnesota, we have found that small group learning experiences of 20 or less students in a specifically guided class creates very successful students that graduate in 4 years and that are academically very successful. So there are some pictures in here now of these different classes that I've had with students, all freshmen. We have some resources that are given to us as faculty to assist with these classes, financial resources as well as educational resources, leadership development and training for us. So with my interest in teaching this 10 Plants That Changed Minnesota, it's been interesting because there are about maybe 50% of the students are in CFANS or in the agriculture school interested in plants, but a huge number of students are not at all. A lot come from animal science, engineering, business, all across the university. It attracts quite a wide variety of students. The first year I taught it, I had someone speak on each of the 10 different plants. The academic specialists came in and talked about those plants, and that was very interesting. I don't have as many guest lectures anymore, but I will have 4 or 5 guest lectures. One of the guest lecturers will be a librarian, our resource librarian at the University of Minnesota, because we are to achieve success for the students, we talk about different issues, and how to use the library is one of the things that I teach. Now, Thursday, this class is happening without me, and the way I'm doing that here is I do have a guest lecture on the American elm, and then I'm going to have the students, they have background reading on plagiarism, and then they're doing an exercise on why I should not plagiarize when I'm in college, and what are the different forms of plagiarism. So I've done the classes without being there by assigning the students different roles to take on with the class. This class of mine is one evening a week, 6 to 9 p.m. We do field trips, the Mill City Museum, I'll talk about that. The Grimm Farmhouse is shown here. This is on the National Registry of Historic Places. This is a historic rock with a monument with the plaque on it, and this house has been rebuilt. So Grimm alfalfa is a very famous crop, the hardy alfalfa that's still used and sold across the United States, originated from Grimm alfalfa. And Peter Gideon started the breeding program of the apples in Minnesota. So we go to those historic locations. And 3 or 4 of the classes out of the 13 weeks, we meet at the Minnesota Landscape Arboretum. So students can see the resources that are at the university. So how many of you knew that Minneapolis was the mill city, the flower capital of the world for 50 years? So because of the spring wheat that can be grown in Minnesota, and because of the technology of those wheat barons, they figured out the technology of how to mill that wheat into the finest white flour, that it was the best in the world. So exported to Spain, at the turn of the 19th century and so on. The Mill City Museum is one of our field trips, which is in downtown Minneapolis. So this is one of our guest speakers. This is an ARS scientist, Michael Russell, who's since retired but has worked on alfalfa. So he's holding the alfalfa roots up there for the students to see. This is the crown, so these are the roots. He comes to class just with a rolled-up paper towel with the alfalfa roots. So we don't have tests. Most teachers are encouraged in this freshman seminar, no tests. We have 3 things that the students do. They're all based on the environment, 3 different reports that they do on the environment with 3 of the different 10 plants. And the class meets the liberal education theme for the environment. So I mentioned that we developed this year these activities for middle school and high school teachers. This handbook was developed by a student who was getting her master's in the professional degree that we have at the University of Minnesota. And with a grant from a donor, we were able to purchase books of the 10 plants books to give out to science teachers across the United States. So later in October and November at the State Science Teachers Meeting and the Minnesota Education Association, I'll be giving these books out to science teachers to hopefully enable them to use this. So again, this was just an idea that I developed into the class, and it was for public awareness to increase appreciation and so on, but it's certainly been a great freshman seminar that I've enjoyed teaching. So thank you for your attention. I think we have 2 or 3 minutes for questions. Any questions about the 10 plants? Yes.
When they were nominated, did you give them choices or
completely? It was completely wide open for the public. In 2012, we had an online submission form that the Arboretum set up. We asked people to pick one of those 5 or 6 criteria and which one would it qualify for. We had a lot of very strange nominations, but we took them all. Cutie oranges. That's still my favorite nomination. Why would a cutie orange be a plant that changed Minnesota? Yes, Marvin. They are not required to take any freshman seminars, but they are encouraged to. And there's a huge number of them, hundreds of them that are offered. Because they're on fun topics, freshmen do tend to like taking them. And if you can get them to meet some of these liberal education themes, then it's 2 for 1. You know, yeah, you know how that goes. Yeah. Okay, thank you. We'll get our technology.